Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the next 3 Sundays, including today, before Lent begins, the Holy Spirit has some powerful, focused teaching for us in the Gospels and also some powerful warnings. In today's Gospel, we're presented with the parable of the workers in the vineyard. It's a parable that teaches us something important about how covenants work and about God's grace. But there's a powerful warning at the end and in the epistle you heard today to watch out for that deadly serpent seed called pride. Combining those two thoughts will give today's sermon the heading, Learn a Lesson from Israel's Pride. I mention Israel because the nation of Israel is like the first set of workers who were hired by the master of the household at the beginning of Jesus' parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the workers on a denarius for the day, he sent them out into his vineyard. Well, God brought Israel into a covenant with himself early in the day, before any other nation. It was the covenant of the law on Mount Sinai. And it was, in a sense, a two-sided covenant. God approached Israel after freeing them from slavery in Egypt and offered them something on his part, but also required them to obey his commandments on their part, including the commandments to have all their males circumcised, to keep the Sabbath day, and all the ceremonies and dietary restrictions and ritual cleansings of the law. It was going to be hard work, but they agreed with God on those terms. He said back in Exodus, "All the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord has said, we will do.'" Like the landowner who agreed with the workers on a denarius for the day. Now, what was that denarius? What was it that God agreed to give Israel that ended up being the same thing he gave to everyone else in the end? Since at the end of the parable, we learn that the last workers hired received the same thing as the first workers who were hired. Well, in a word, it was Christ. Among all the benefits God promised to Israel, none was greater than that the Christ himself would be sent to Israel, sent from Israel, given to Israel to make atonement for their sins, given to them to rule over God's people forever and to give them the gift of eternal life. That covenant was agreed upon by the Israelites, and they went to work, generation after generation, observing the law of Moses. Today's parable doesn't have any part with the landowner going out to inspect the work that the workers were doing. If the Lord were to inspect the obedience of Israel over the centuries, what would he find? You know, long stretches at a time of turning away from the law of God entirely, committing idolatry and sorcery and adultery and all kinds of evil. Even those in Israel who tried very hard at keeping the law found it impossible, if they were honest. St. Peter later describes what living under the law in the Old Testament was like for a Jew. He says, "It was a yoke on the neck, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear." If the Jews were honest with themselves, they had to confess that they weren't actually keeping up their end of the bargain. They should have realized that they could never earn God's grace in the first place, or the salvation that the coming Christ was coming to bring. So much for Israel. The Lord of the vineyard wasn't satisfied just to have the Israelites working for him. He went out at various points in the day to bring other workers into his vineyard, into his church. At the third hour, at the sixth hour, at the ninth hour, and even again at the 11th hour, just 1 hour before quitting time, he went out and found others. But instead of making a two-sided covenant with them, agreeing upon their work and a price that would get paid, the landowner simply tells them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right." And they went. They did. Gentiles like Naaman the Syrian in the Old Testament, whose leprosy the prophet Elisha cleansed. Jewish tax collectors and sinners of all kinds at the time of Jesus, who hadn't been working very hard at all at keeping the law of Moses. And Gentiles, non-Israelites, who were being invited into God's kingdom too, not on the basis of any works of the law that they had done or who they were descended from, purely on the basis of God's grace toward them. What happens at the end of the day in the parable reveals the main purpose of this parable. At the end of the day, the landowner orders that those who were hired last, who did practically no work at all in the vineyard, be paid first. And they were each given a denarius. And then all those stream of workers hired later in the day, throughout the day, came and received the same thing, a denarius. And the first workers noticed that denarius that the others received. The Lord of the vineyard wanted them to notice. The Lord God wanted the Israelites to see that His grace isn't earned. It's a free, generous gift. That the Christ had been sent to Israel not because Israel had earned his coming by all their hard work under the law over the centuries, but because the end of the day had come, the end of the Old Testament era, and the time had finally come for God's greatest gift to be given, his own Son, the Savior of the world. As Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 3, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Instead of rejoicing in God's grace to all and in the coming of the promised Christ, the Israelites, in their pride, grumbled against God as the first workers grumbled against the landowner. "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. We've worked so hard, and they've hardly worked at all. We deserve more than this lousy denarius. We deserve more than this lousy Christ." The Lord of the vineyard was not happy with the first workers. He answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. I want to give this last man the same as I give you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with what is mine? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" Yes, Israel was given much hard work to do. But it wasn't without its advantages. As St. Paul writes to the Romans, "What advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. God actually spoke to the people of Israel in the Old Testament and gave them his written word. Also, Paul says, to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Of them are the fathers, and from them, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Israel had many advantages as the first workers who were hired at the beginning of the day and given the covenant of the law of Moses. But they were supposed to understand that no matter how many works of the law they did, they were still sinners. They would all be condemned if God were to inspect their work and judge them on the basis of it. They could never earn God's grace. The Christ and his salvation were pure gift. And that very same gift would be given to all the Gentiles and to those who didn't spend even 1 hour working under the Old Testament law. The gift of Christ has been given to all, even to the Israelites who rejected him. He came to Israel. He died for Israel. The denarius was given. But the unbelieving of Israel heard the horrible words, "Take what is yours and go." Their pride had cut them off from Christ and from the salvation he came to bring. Of course, some of Israel believed. Peter spoke for them in the book of Acts. "We believe that we shall be saved in the same manner as the Gentiles through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, you believe that too, don't you? That's the faith into which you were baptized and brought into God's covenant of grace. Christians believe not that we're the greatest workers in the world, but that God has saved us through faith, apart from our works, through Christ and his work on our behalf. The Christian gospel isn't whoever works the hardest or whoever obeys enough of God's laws gets into heaven. The Christian gospel is you have not obeyed God's law. You have earned only wrath and eternal condemnation for your sins, but God, in his grace, wants you to be saved and has given the Christ into death for your sins. So repent and believe in the Lord Jesus and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, you have believed and have been brought into God's covenant of grace. So now the warning in today's gospel and in the epistle, which was written to Christians who had been brought into the covenant of grace, also applies, especially to those who haven't spent their lives in open wickedness and disobedience and idolatry. It's a warning to those who have worked the hardest at being good Christians, at keeping God's commandments, a warning to those who were baptized early in life. Were you called into Christ's kingdom early in life through holy baptism? Good. Many are called, Jesus says, but few are chosen to remain in the kingdom at the end of the day. And why are the few chosen? Because at the end of the day, those few were found still trusting in God's grace, still hoping in Christ, not claiming their own goodness or their own works. They are last in their own hearts, and so God has made them first in his kingdom. And why aren't the many chosen? Because many end up relying on their own works instead of on God's grace in Christ Jesus. They are first in their own hearts, and so they will be last in God's kingdom. Did you make a good beginning in the Christian life, in the Christian faith? Were you baptized early in life? Good! The Israelites who left Egypt also made a good beginning, as St. Paul says in the epistle. But he also says, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were struck down in the wilderness. Have you been faithful at attending church, zealous in keeping God's commandments? Good. So were the Pharisees. And you know how they turned out from the Gospels. The longer they spent working hard under the law, the more their pride grew, and the more their desire for grace diminished. Their pride and their despising of God's grace in Christ made all their other works meaningless, and they perished in unbelief. So learn a lesson today from Israel's pride. Being called by the gospel and enlightened with the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the Christian life. But being sanctified and preserved in the true faith in Christ Jesus is the continuation of the Christian life. And you have to make it to the end of the day still relying on God's grace alone if you would remain in God's kingdom for the next life. So work hard in God's kingdom. Use the means of grace. Pray, obey, and bear the heat of the day. But also keep beating down the serpent seed of pride, which will always try to grow in your heart, so that you stay with Christ, so that you always hope to be saved only by God's grace, never by your works. This is how you run the race, as St. Paul said in the epistle today, in order to win the prize. May God keep you in His grace all the way to the finish line. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.